Looking at the book of Proverbs, which we've been doing this term, and today's our last one, the book of Proverbs, and we're thinking about humility. But I'm going to pray before we have a look at this passage. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your word. And Lord, I pray that today we might be attentive to this word. We might listen, we might learn, we might choose wise paths, and we might grow to be the people you've made us to be. And Lord, I pray that you might do good for us through this word today. Amen. All right, well, 1994, for those who didn't remember the last century, I joined Macquarie Bank as a computer support guy. My job was to fix computers when they weren't working. Within 12 months, I'd been promoted, I had two pay rises, I had my first annual bonus, and I was well regarded. For me, it was intoxicating. I loved that environment. I felt like I was somebody. I was respected in the workplace. I was chosen to head up this dream project ahead of my co-workers. 4 years on, I paid nearly double what I'd started on. I had a team of staff working for me, and I felt like I was living the high life of middle management. The truth is, it wasn't that hard. I'd learned everything I could. I promoted myself shamelessly. I worked hard. I soon learned who I was competing with and who I needed to impress. And I loved it. I loved the honour. I loved the recognition. I could solve problems that others couldn't. And I had become arrogant. And Proverbs 16 reminds us, pride comes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly of spirit with the humble than to divide plunder with the proud. You've heard the expression, pride comes before a fall. This is it. This is where it comes from. Things started to unravel when in 1997 I became a Christian. And suddenly I looked at the whole thing differently. I started to realise I'd been a total fool. I'd worked out how to succeed in the world, but started to see that it was a really hollow thing. See, when you push people down to lift yourself up, eventually you realise that someday someone's going to push you down too. So let's think about success. Let's think about what success is. So I might ask the kids a question if that's okay. So I wonder if I've got a kid that's happy to come up the front and... Olivia, coming up, you're quick. What could go wrong, right? What could possibly go wrong? Come on up, Olivia. You even went up around from the cables. Perfect. Well done. So, Olivia, what do you think success looks like at school? How do you know if you're doing well at school?
Well, you get good grades.
Yeah?
And you're very smart.
Okay. All right, so good grades and very smart. How do you, like, let's say you get 80% on a test. How do you know if that's a good grade or a bad grade? How do you know?
Because it's above 50. If anything above 50 is a good grade.
Now, for the teenagers in the room, that's all you need for uni, by the way. Okay, that's all you need. Okay. All right, so anything above 50. Now, what about if you get 80% and everyone else in your class gets more than 80%? Is that good or bad?
That's good. If it's a self-improvement, then it's good.
Wow. Wow. All right. Yes, Steph, you are looking like the dream mum. I think you need to go now because I've got nothing left. The wisdom of the young, huh? Yeah, I didn't think like that when I was her age. When I was her age, if I got 80% in a test and the rest of the class got 90, then I felt like I'd failed. Right? I was not the good kid. I was the kid that thought, I've got to beat the other kids. You ever had that where you've got a friend and you like them, they're your friend, but when it comes to test time, I've got to beat them. Or in the workplace. Yeah, I like this guy, I love to go out for lunch with him or whatever, but there's a promotion coming up and now we're on. Let's go. This is our world that we live in, except for Olivia. And as you stand staring at these crossroads every day thinking, what am I going to do? What choice am I going to make? What are all these delightful options before me? I want to take a moment to listen to wisdom. because wisdom has something to say to us about humility that we need to hear. And of course, if we're going to think about humility, we've got to go to the starting point of the whole series, fear God. Humility, like wisdom, like knowledge, begins in the fear of the Lord. And so we're going to start there again today in chapter 3. Chapter 3, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. Now, it is actually no overstatement to say that you are amazing. It is no overstatement. You have been made in the image of God. You've been made to rule the world under him. And yes, this image has been distorted by the fall, but the image remains. You are still in his image, and God has given you a unique set of gifts for the common good. You have been blessed by him. You have gifts that this church needs, and God has given them to us through you. Even your hurts and your pains and your brokenness are gifts to this church. They are for our common good. And we know that you are precious to God because in Christ he's chosen to rescue you from sin and judgment. You are amazing. But what does the self-esteem movement do with that? Well, it takes away any reference to God. It takes away any reference to sin and distortion. And it takes away any reference to serving others. And what are we left with? You're amazing. You're made to rule the world. You are unique. And it's half true, isn't it? It's true, but it's half the truth. You are amazing, but you are broken. And so wisdom drives us to Jesus. We need him because of our brokenness. Folly invites us to just celebrate who we are. It's interesting, I think, in verse 7 here. Being wise in your own eyes is actually equated with evil. Well, we generally don't think that way, do we? Being wise in your own eyes is an evil thing. It's something we need to repent of. We were not made to be arrogant. We were made to fear God. And when we talk about fearing God, that means everything from fear to awe to respect, that whole range of things. That's what we're made to do. And it's interesting here as well. Arrogance makes us sick. It actually makes us sick. Nothing a doctor could diagnose, but a sickness that makes you weak. And there is healing. There is strengthening when we turn away from evil. So wisdom says, repent of arrogance and turn to God. Fear him. Well, humility, though, is more than just our relationship with God. Humility is also about our relationship with others. Humility is about our view of ourselves and our view of one another. So we'll jump to chapter 25. Don't boast about yourself before the king, and don't stand in the place of the great, for it's better for him to say to you, come up here, than to demote you in plain view of a noble. And chapter 27, let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. You can almost imagine the scene, can't you? You're in the royal court. Hey, king, it's me. And the king goes, who are you? Or, worse, the king goes, I know who you are, stay where you are, or maybe you head down there, please. Self-promotion is not so great when the king sends you away, is it? Now, maybe you've experienced this. Maybe you've experienced that sense of trying to impress someone who's just not that impressed with you. For those of you who are married in the room, half of you know that experience. The other half don't. When you want to be recognized, how do you do it? Well, wisdom says, be humble. Instead of self-promotion, be humble. And it seems so puzzling. How do we get praise? By not seeking it. How are you lowered? How are you humbled before others? How are you demoted? By seeking praise. It seems so counterintuitive. And friends, I get the frustration of being overlooked. It's frustrating, isn't it, when you're invisible and people don't notice you. It's frustrating when you've got something to offer and you're ignored. But the answer in Proverbs is not to sing your own praises, not self-promotion, but to leave that to others. And wisdom says that this posture, this humility, is of great worth. But humility is not just about lowering yourself down. It's about lifting others up. Let's return to Proverbs chapter 3. When it is in your power, don't withhold good from the one to whom it belongs. Don't say to your neighbour, go away, come back later. I'll give it tomorrow, when it is there with you. Don't plan any harm against your neighbour, for he trusts you and lives near you. Again, notice this dance of humility. What does it say about others? If I've got what you need, I should supply it. If I've got the good thing that you need, I should give it to you. If I have something a neighbour needs, and remember, neighbour is not just the guys that live next door. If I have something a neighbour needs, then I should supply it. Now, the great quote when we think about this comes from C.S. Lewis. He said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. Now, I think for us preachers, this is always a trap. Preachers always try and speak badly of themselves. Oh, yeah, I did this and I was that, you know. But humility says, stop thinking about yourself at all. Start thinking about others. Start thinking about the other person. And this is also a bit puzzling. So I think I'd like another volunteer. Not Olivia, she's going to embarrass me. Another volunteer? Someone else in the room? Oh, this is interesting. You're all scared. What could possibly go wrong? Don't be shy. I don't mind. Adult or child is fine. Happy for an adult, happy for a child. All right, Ben Pakula coming up. Thank you, Ben.
I'm a preacher too, so I feel that, you know, thank I wanted you, to help you out, brother.
Yeah, so Ben is actually one of the ministers up at Harrington Park, who's obviously on holiday, but nice to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So in that case, I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm not going to go as easy on you as I was going to go on the kids.
Give me all you got, brother.
All right. So, Ben, which one of us is human?
Which one of us? You and I?
Yeah.
Well, I know for the fact that I am.
Okay.
And if only one of us is, because that's a loaded question, well, then I have to say me. But I'm going to answer more truthfully. It's both of us.
That's both of us. Okay. All right. What about which one of us is made in the image of God?
Both.
Okay. Which one of us is loved by God?
Both.
Which one of us is greater?
Can I say neither? Or
you can say neither. Oh, you can say. You should say neither, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go with that. And in this room, who is the greatest in the room?
I feel like saying, can we bring a little child in here and have him sit and say, whoever wants to be greatest in the kingdom has to be like this little child. That would be my.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, Ben. Thank you. See, which one is greater in the room? There is no one greater in the room. We're all made in God's image. We're all loved by God. We're all equal. We're all human. There's no great difference between us. We are all equal in the sight of God. And so humility is good. Being arrogant is not good. So let's think a bit more about what humility is. And of course, if we want to think about what humility is, the answer must be found, of course, in the one person who walked this earth who wasn't our equal, our Lord Jesus Christ. Consider what Jesus did from this famous passage in Philippians 2. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he'd come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Right? I am no better than you. You are no better than me, but Jesus Christ is objectively better than all of us. He is objectively greater. You and I can't compare ourselves to him in any meaningful way because he's so much greater. He's greater than all of us. But what did he do? He became one of us. He lowered himself to become one of us. He humbled himself to be one of us. And then he humbled himself even more. He died for us. Just consider this for a moment. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God, became one of us to humble himself, to die for us. He considered us more important than himself. And that's ridiculous, isn't it? It's scandalous. Just think about this for a moment. Where's Olivia gone? Hey, Olivia, Jesus Christ considered you more important than him. Isn't that amazing? Yeah? And Ben, Jesus Christ considered you more important than himself. That is crazy. Have a look at verse 7. He emptied himself, assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And then verse 8, he humbled himself even further to the point of death. That's not how things work. The lesser should humble themselves before the greater. The greater is not supposed to humble themselves before the lesser. But he humbled himself for us. And so then we can make sense of verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. We need to be more like him. We need to lower ourselves before others by lifting them up. Think about the kids making noise as they return from Sunday school. I know we've got about 6,000 children, it seems, so when we come back from Sunday school, and when they come through the doors, it's the cacophony, isn't it? But think about our response. What would our response be if we said, those kids are more important than me right now? Or think about it, morning tea. You've seen that child, whichever child it is, you can picture one in your mind, who's had their finger up their nose, and then they go over to the morning tea table, and up goes that hand, and it touches something. But then they decide, actually, I don't want that. And they take the hand away. What would your response be to that if you thought, that child is more important than I am? Friends, I want to encourage us to humble ourselves. I know there are things that are hard in church. In fact, I was at a conference recently where someone said, one of the great blessings of church is that there are so many opportunities to forgive and be forgiven. Right? Let's humble ourselves. Well, Proverbs 3 continues, the Lord's curse is on the household of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks those who mock, but he gives grace to the humble. Vanessa and I were in Office Works recently, and we saw one of the ugliest encounters that I've ever seen. There was a man at Office Works who bought a set of headphones from Office Works, and then found a similar model number advertised cheaper elsewhere. And he's trying to convince the Office Works staff that it was the same model, and therefore he's entitled to that 5% discount. And he was horrible. He was abusive. He mocked the young girl behind the sales counter. He was abusive to her. It was horrible. Now, I'm sure he got his refund. I have no doubt that going into Officeworks and adopting that attitude will get you your refund. But God will not bless that. The wicked are cursed. The mockers are mocked. Those who humble themselves before the Lord and before others are given grace. God gives grace to those who do what is right. God gives grace to the humble. Well, the last thing I want to say today is the humble spirit will gain honour. You know, throughout this series, we've noted that proverbs are not things that are always true in every instance. They're general truths. Sometimes the arrogant do get their way, like the man in Office Works. Sometimes the humble are ignored and overlooked and downtrodden. But I want to bring it back to God because he has the final say. So let's go back to Philippians 2, the passage we looked at before, but this time from verses 9 to 11. For this reason, that is Jesus' humility, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, Jesus humbled himself for us, and God has lifted him up. The one who considered us better than him is now exalted. His name is above every name. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because God has the final word, he will bring the arrogant down. He will lift up the humble. On the day when he judges the world, the dead will rise and every one of us will answer to God. Have a look at this proverb from chapter 16. Everyone with a proud heart is detestable to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. And friends, I want to assure you of this. Sometimes you look at our world and it seems like the way to get ahead is to be arrogant, to be forceful. But what does this proverb remind us of? God will judge the world, and every act of arrogance will be judged. And the arrogant will either be accounted for in Jesus or in us. Every act of arrogance is either accounted for in Jesus, in his death for us, or we answer for it ourselves. Either Jesus died for our sin, or we die for our own sin. But just as there is a punishment for the proud, Proverbs also reminds us there's reward for the humble. So chapter 22. Humility, the fear of the Lord, results in wealth, honour and life. And chapter 29, a person's pride will humble him, but a humble spirit will gain honour. Friends, I cannot adequately paint for you the riches that are ours in Christ. I cannot adequately imagine what riches he has in store for us in eternity. I imagine it will be the kind of day that results in squealing, the kind of squealing of just glee and tears of just total delight as we stand there in his presence. Imagine that joy of being in the presence of God. And I'm sure it is so overwhelming that any pain you have endured is forgotten in that moment. So friends, I want to encourage you, humble yourself before God. Trust that he will keep his promises. God will lift you up. Just as he lifted Christ up out of that grave into his glory, so he will lift you up. And on that day, friends, you will know what real joy is. I'm going to pray and then invite the musicians to lead us in a song of praise to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we mourn in this world when we see the arrogant get ahead. We mourn our own arrogance. And we mourn when we see the humble brought low. And we mourn when we see that in ourselves. But Father God, help us to trust you. Help us to trust that you will lift up the humble and bring down the arrogant. And help us then, Lord, to repent of our sin, that we might live lives that bring glory and honour to you and that are a blessing to our neighbour. Amen.